A little bit about the title to today's message, God's Got This. You know, we have this this saying in our vocabulary, kind of in our lexicon, about you got this, or we've got this as a team. He's got this, she's got this. And, you know, what I think it's really come to mean is it's a vote of confidence and support for somebody or some group or some team or whatever that, don't worry, you could take care of this. Don't worry, you'll survive this. You got this under control. It's okay. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, is the fact that God's got this. And that this, by the way, is us. And so that's really what we're going to kind of chat a little bit about. So Pastor Joe has been encouraging us over the last several weeks to think bigger, to think bolder, act bolder, but also to pray bigger and pray bold and just be bold. And as I heard that message a couple times, it started to resonate with me personally, because I started to think about, well, how do I pray, you know? And I try to be a pretty good prayer and conscientious prayer, and certainly a regular prayer, prayer of prayers. But it occurred to me that, you know, I was really kind of praying in a small space, and really kind of praying in a small area, and it was kind of routine, you know? And it was kind of the obvious things, my friends, my family, my neighbors, all of you, this church, where we're going, Plattsburgh, that kind of thing. Once in a while, I get really wild and pray for the state of Missouri or something like that. But it dawned on me that, it kind of started to connect the dots that the world's a bigger place than that. And so when I listened to Pastor Joe's words, which I believe are God's words that came, at least to me anyway, through Pastor Joe, that you need to step outside there. You need to think a little bigger, because there's some other issues out there. So for the last couple weeks, I've been driving a lot for my work, as opposed to flying, and that's nice. That's a good thing, because I've flown so much over the years. When I get to drive, somewhat control my own destiny, I really do enjoy that. And as I was covering a couple thousand miles over the last couple weeks across Missouri and Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, whatever, the great heartland, driving through all that corn and beans and pastures with cows in it. See, there's the cow reference. You were waiting for it. You know you were. I can only listen to, I don't know about you, but I can only listen to so much radio, right? News, sports, music, you know, whatever. And then I just have to turn it off. I just need some peace so I can survive. So I had a lot of windshield time, and that's dangerous, because that leads itself to thinking. And when you're driving across South Dakota, there's not even any other cars, right? So you can really talk out loud, you know. And I confess, I'm that guy you see in the car with his lips moving like that, and he's not necessarily on the phone. But anyway, so I think a lot, and that thinking leads sometimes to worry. And I grab these pictures of roller coasters up here. I love roller coasters. I mean, like all the thrill stuff at an amusement park, I love. I'm not a thrill seeker guy. I don't have a motorcycle. I have no desire to jump out of an airplane with a parachute, or certainly not with that one. But, I don't do thrilly kind of stuff normally. But at an amusement park when the kids were young, I just absolutely loved riding all that wild stuff. And now I don't have that opportunity. But they have given me four more opportunities here in a few years. So once the grandkids get above that little, whatever that little, you know, level is, old Bubba, which is my name from them, can get back on the roller coasters without looking creepy on by myself, you know. Anyway, so I like roller coasters at Worlds of Fun and Six Flags and places like that, but not necessarily in my personal life, you know. A little up and down, you know, left and right, topsy-turvy, you know, that kind of goes with the program, but not all the time. So, you know, I started to, and I've been having some thoughts here for the last several months I had some big thoughts, even though I wasn't really realizing it, about kind of the state of the whole world, which to me is very scary and a mess. And then the state of our country, or the condition of our country right now, which seems to, I don't think it's where any of us want it. That's probably the safest thing to say. And matter of fact, we've talked about this a couple times recently in our adult Sunday school class, this whole idea and this whole concept. And so those two thoughts started to come together in my mind about concern for the country and the world and trying to be bigger, bolder, and, you know, think and act and pray outside my little world. So, you know, I worry about this guy. Especially, I put this together like this week, right, before he exploded a hydrogen bomb last night, or at least allegedly, if you haven't caught the news yet this morning. And I read somewhere that this guy's like 28 years old or something. He's 20-something, right? So my first thought is, you know, I've got shoes older than you, you know? I probably got medicine older than you. And here you are causing all this stress and strife and whatever in the world. So there's a group that I'm speaking personally here. No doubt some of you can relate to what I'm saying. But this, I've worried about this group for quite some time, and they're very dangerous and very scary, I think. And then most recently, another group's come on the scene in our country, and these are people that don't represent this country, whether they think they do or not. But so I've had all these kind of big concerns. And then I got this faith email, I guess, or faith text that, Bruce, you need to start thinking bigger. And to my mind, that's where it is, and that's how it goes. So then I started thinking about some other stuff that we hear about all day. I mean, every day it seems like Social Security, is there going to be enough to go around? We keep hearing about it's going to run out, we're going to have trouble funding it. How do we handle that? Tax reform, something we're going to be hearing a lot about specifically in the coming weeks. Healthcare has been a problem for years and doesn't seem to be taken care of. But then when I put it in the context of God and this whole idea and concept that God's got this, then I kind of put a check mark by it and say, you know, it'll be okay. It'll be all right. And the same way with those pictures on the previous slide, it'll be okay. We'll get through this. And we'll talk a little bit about how I know that or feel that. And then I heard on the radio some talk about government shutdown, you know, and it's happened, I don't know, once or twice before, and every couple of years we have to increase the budget ceiling so we can continue to spend more money, otherwise the government shuts down and all that kind of thing. And then I got to thinking, well, you know, is there ever such a thing as a faith shutdown? I mean, you know, does God ever run out of resources? Does God ever run out of patience with me, with us, and whatever? And you know, the answer is no. It's endless. So if you were gonna count on one of those two, right? If you were gonna put your money somewhere, whatever, or bet on one of those, I'd say bet on faith. Don't bet on anything else, not just the government. So looking again at today's scripture that Chris read, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, speak his name, be proud of what you believe and what our faith is. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. I thought you might kind of like that one, Jacob. I kind of thought about you. I didn't underline it. I apologize, but that doesn't mean it's not important. Tell all of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. So when I kind of fall in the trap sometimes. I really go to the Lord a lot when I'm concerned, when I'm worrying, like I talked about before, when times are bad or when I'm just concerned and worried about something, you know, whatever, some stress or some issue. But in actual fact, I ought to be going there every day, whether times are good or bad or in between or up or down or positive or negative, because he's always there. And when we lack strength, all we need to do is go there and look there, and it's there. It's there because he said it in the Bible and because it's printed in the Bible and because that's what experience teaches us over time. Look, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles. And we're going to talk a little bit more about a couple of those here in a minute. And the judgments he pronounced. You and his servants, the descendants of Abraham, his chosen ones, the children of Jacob. Not this Jacob, but Jacob. So as I was kind of doing some of my research to put this together and kind of, you know, gathering some information and so forth, I came across a couple of things that I wanted to share. I thought were really great, and I wanted to share them with you all, and hopefully they have some meaning and some value for you. The first one, it says, fear says, it's over, there's no way out, bury me with my boots on, turn the lights out, party over. That's it. That's what fear says to you and I, and that's us, really, you know. We fear far too much. But faith says, if there's one message here for taking home today, this is it. I don't know what God is going to do, and I don't know how, but I know that God has it all under control. And I don't know, if this message could be boiled down into just a handful of words, that really is it. Not only do we not know what God is going to do and not know how, you know, that really doesn't matter. All that matters is that he's got it under control, and he's going to take care of it. So the second one was another one I thought was kind of cool. And it says, we'll never know God's strength till we recognize our own weakness. And so, you know, kind of to me, what that means is, you know, we got to face the fact that we are weak. We are sinners. We do make mistakes. We are not we're not as disciplined as we would like to be or should be. We certainly are not perfect. But, you know, that's where God comes in, and God's strength is, and God takes care of us, and he forgives us, and he doesn't hold that against us. He knows it. He understands it. So you know, I guess I've come to believe there's probably almost no way we could push God far enough that he would abandon us. He's always there. So my parents my family has owned a timeshare down at Sanibel Island, Florida, for like 43 years, I think we figured out. Sanibel is on the west coast of Florida, if you're not familiar, right off of Fort Myers, about two-thirds of the way down. Beautiful place, very nice place. And 40-something years ago, my parents bought a timeshare, and over the years accumulated some more. The way that works is you buy 1 week of the year, right? And then you have this condo there for that 1 week every year. So they bought several more units during that week so the family could come down and whatever. So when they both passed away, several of us in the family had the opportunity to buy those units, and we've been fortunate, Susan and I, that we've been able to add to them. So we have three units during 1 week last month in August. So every other year we go down, the whole family goes down, and all the kids meet us, and now the grandkids, and we just have a grand old time. Usually, maybe sometimes invite a friend or, you know, some friends to stay for a few days, and it's a great thing. So this year, when we were down there, so I'm a early morning guy. I get up at 5 o'clock every day, whether the alarm's set or not. And one of the things I love to do here is get up, go to the beach, and watch the sunrise, because beautiful sunrise back off to the east. And so for whatever reason, the first couple days, you know, I waited too long, you know, before I even looked outside, let alone went outside. I was truly on vacation, I guess. That's the good news. Anyway, so, and then one day we went fishing in the morning, so that kind of knocked that out. So before I knew it, it was Thursday. We're leaving on Saturday, so Saturday's not a good day to do this. So all I had was Friday morning to get up. So sure enough, Friday morning I get up, and it's still dark, whatever, and I grabbed my clothes and my little beach clothes, tiptoed out of the bedroom not to wake Susan up, and, you know, started the coffee, had a cup of coffee, got my phone together, put it in the Ziploc bag, did all those beach things you always do. Walked outside, it's pouring down rain. I'm like, oh, seriously, really? So, and now rain in Florida in the summer is not a, you know, odd thing, right? Everybody knows that. Chris, you know that. But this time of year where we are, typically it's always in the afternoon and the evening. It's rarely in the morning, other than this Friday morning. So I went back inside, and had another cup of coffee and, you know, kind of licked my wounds, you know, and whatever. And a few minutes, I got up and went to look out the window, and sure enough, the rain had stopped. Excuse me, the rain had stopped, and it was starting to lighten up. So I grabbed all my stuff, and so I went out to the beach, and so I was treated to a beautiful sunrise that morning. And go ahead, you scroll through. So that's just kind of another look, and then so that other look was off to the east. And then when I looked over my other shoulder, this is the thunderstorm. You know, this is all the rain clouds and all the bad stuff that was raining just moments before. And you can see the rising sun reflecting off it, and it's going off somewhere else. And so I was reminded that storms never last. That song by Jesse Coulter, "Storms Never Last." But it reminded me also that, you know, God's got control of that. So I was reminded again. Here a couple weeks ago, we had our little eclipse day. And Keith and Carrie and I were working the booth, the church booth and pastor, handing out water and telling people about what we do here and what we're all involved in. And now, I'm not a celestial kind of guy. You know, I don't spend a lot of time staring up at the heavens. I am fascinated by stars. I do like to try to identify the constellations. And I usually get to the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, and then it goes south from there. However, nobody else knows them either. So you can just say, that's Orion's belt, and that's Sagittarius. And as long as you can make up the words, people go, wow, that guy's really smart. And he knows cows too. So I was excited about this. And of course, you know, we were right in the zone of totality, which is a new term I learned. And so I thought, well, that's cool. But, you know, I'm like, whatever. Well, I have to say that it really was an amazing experience to be part of this thing. And at 1:07 in the afternoon in August, I mean, it's dark. I mean, the headlights on people, automatic headlights on people's cars are coming on. And those of you that experienced it, you know that all the day sounds went away. The dogs barking and the birds and I don't know, whatever. And then it was like quiet, and then all of a sudden the night sounds came along. You know, the frogs and the crickets and the cicadas and whatever. And just that encroaching, enveloping darkness, and then it went away like that. It was pretty amazing. But again, you know, that was just another example to me of God's presence, and God's got this, and God's here, and I don't know, somehow or another, that's what it meant to me. So Chris mentioned Houston, and there's you know, God's got us in a lot of different ways, and God certainly got us in Houston. I mean, it's there's way too much tragedy down there, and it's bad. But you know, you look at that, and you go, in a city of 6.5 million people, how much more devastating it could have been if the people hadn't come to work come together to work. And I have an aunt that lives in Houston, and who's fortunately and okay. And many good friends, one of which who's okay, the other one who's lost everything. I called him on the phone last Sunday, and he said, Bruce, he said, I've got 2 changes of clothes, 2 dogs, toothbrush, and toothpaste. That's all I got. This guy that had a lot of stuff had like a real life. And so, you know, it really kind of hits home, and it's a place I've spent a lot of time in. I've driven those freeways, and to see them underwater, and water in places that you never, ever, ever could have imagined. I mean, it's pretty phenomenal. But then, you know, you see our country and you see people coming together, and this kind of gets back to my earlier comment about the state of the country and so forth. And, you know, you see stuff like this. And that's just a guy, by the way. He's got camo on, but he's not a military. That's not a National Guard guy or whatever. That's just that's like Sunday clothes in Texas for guys, right? Camo. He's no doubt he's a dove hunter and a deer hunter. So, but it doesn't matter. He's carrying this young lady and her baby, and you know, I don't know. You can't tell me God's not present in that environment, in that situation, and whatever. So, some of you may recognize this logo. I know my friend Russell will, being an insurance guy. But if you've ever had insurance with this company or know anything about insurance, but I But I thought, you know, this really kind of, just like I did with the kids, you know, this really kind of captures what this whole concept, pictorially anyway, what this whole concept and this whole idea of God's got this, God's got us, right in the palms of his hand. And so that's, oh, go ahead. So that's from Allstate Insurance. And for those of you of a certain age, you would remember who their spokesperson was, who used to always say their tagline, a guy named Ed Reimer, kindly white-haired, grandfatherly guy with a great voice, and he used to always say, "You're in good hands with Allstate." And so I, as I thought about that, I thought, well, you're in good hands. I guess you're in good hands with Allstate. We have State Farm, so I don't know. But I hope you're in good hands with Allstate. I hope we're in good hands with State Farm, now that I think about it. But first, last, and always, you're in good hands with God. You know, God's got it under control. So he can take care of those things better than Allstate, better than the government, better than me and you and whatever else. So I think this this last passage from Deuteronomy really kind of captures what I've been trying to say, or what I would like this message to be about. And it goes, the Lord himself goes before. So it says before, doesn't say after, doesn't say or over or under or around, doesn't even say alongside. It says the Lord goes before you and will be with you. It doesn't say might. Doesn't say chances are yeah, it's a pretty good, yeah, you can count on the Lord being with you. It says he will be with you. To me, it doesn't leave room for doubt or confusion. He will never. Now, there's a couple words I've always told my kids. I said, if you're going to use two words, never and always, make sure that you really believe in that, because those are pretty strong, direct words when you say always and you say never, and they're very powerful words. So when I look at this, I say, he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a pretty big deal, ever. That means to me, you can't make him go away. You could try, but you can't make him go away. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. So, yeah, you know, in spite of some of those crazy pictures of crazy people I had pictures of up there before, and the crazy stuff that happens and whatever goes on in this life and in this world, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Carry on and move ahead. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged to think bold, to be bold, and to pray bold. Because God's got this. Amen.